Rosemary and Phil have done a thorough job, haven't they? Fascinating. We'll be back with more in your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Rosemary Ellen Guiley and Phil Imbrogno as we talk about their upcoming work, of course, called The Vengeful Djinn. Rosemary, this is coming out in March, I guess, right?
It is, and we're talking about this topic now because it's of such intense interest, especially in the paranormal community. Both of us have been getting inquiries about the djinn. Information about them and questions about them are circulating, and we feel it's really important to get information out, especially to people who are investigating cases, because the djinn need to be factored in to a range of explanations in terms of what goes on in each case. I have a djinn page up on my website, visionaryliving.com, and we are developing an entire website devoted to the djinn called djinnuniverse.com, which will be up and running by the end of the month. And we'd like this to be a forum for people to get their questions answered, to have resources, additional resources to look at, and to report their experiences and cases.
The Irish myths of, the leprechauns and the other myths of fairies, might people have been talking about the djinn?
Absolutely. When I compared the djinn to angels, demons, the cryptids, the extraterrestrials, all of these other entities that human beings have had interaction with throughout history, the most intense correspondence was between djinn and fairies. It's absolutely amazing. Their history, fairies are outcasts from their realm. They were the early inhabitants of the earth who lost their dominance to people. They're linked to the demonic like the djinn are. They are the hidden people. They like to live in subterranean places. They believe they're superior to people. They have long lifespans, but they're not immortal. They're organized into societies and families. They can meet with human beings. The list goes on and on. The comparisons between fairies and humans causing possession, the shape-shifting tricks and malevolence. And interestingly, they're both weakened by iron.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. This hour will fly by. Rick is in Denver, Colorado. Good morning, Rick. You're up.
Hey, good morning, George.
Hi.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, the reason I'm calling in tonight is because I had an experience when I was down in New Zealand that I've never been able to put any kind of explanation to as of yet.
Okay, share it with us. Maybe they can help you.
Well, I mean, now that I hear about this kind of, basically, I'm interested in the distinction between angels and demons and the djinn, because I've been somewhat familiar with angels and demons kind of as a Christian, as far as having angels and demons, mm-hmm. things like that. But when I was in New Zealand, I used to ride around a lot mountain biking. And one night I ended up in this park, and I don't think there was any caves that I can remember, but it was a very low, low, low spot. It just kept going down and down. And there was, I had an experience with some type of thing that just scared the Jesus out of me that I would never even return to that spot again. And it wasn't until I'd heard this show tonight talking about the djinn that it kind of clicked, like maybe that's probably the missing link, is that it was such a scary experience that, in hindsight, I never thought of it as angels or demons, but this idea of the djinn could pretty much fill in the blanks for me.
And Rosemary, how do we, like Rick is saying, how do we know the difference?
Sometimes it's hard to tell because the djinn act in so many ways that we associate with malevolent entities like demons. They're very trickster-like. They can terrify people. They can assume any shape. Some of the differences are the way they deal with people. Demonic cases tend to be a progression of infiltration of a person's environment, and then their mind, and then in full-blown possession cases, their body, with the agenda of subverting a person's free will to make choices for evil so that their soul is condemned to hell. And the jinn have more self-serving agendas. They're interested in using people for their own ends, not in serving, you know, the cause of absolute evil, so to speak. And they tend to be very persistent and often very unpredictable and resistant to a lot of remedies that we employ against other malevolent entities.
Good point. Good point. Phil, you want to add anything to that?
Well, you know, what I believe is that I would say I can't really say that everything is responsible for a jinn, but I don't really believe, you know, when you talk about demons or demonic agents, in Islam, you know, there are no fallen angels. So, you know, no fallen angels have become demons. They're made of pure light. They're incorruptible. And the only evil that is in the universe, according to the beliefs, are jinn and human beings and people, physical beings in the universe. So, you know, people really get confused when they talk about demons and what demons are and so on and so on. To me, you know, I think they're all different types of jinn, because if, according to Islam, you know, God made three, and then the holy man told me, he said that God made three separate beings in the universe, made angels, physical beings, and jinn, and there are many classes of jinn, so they can be very complex, and they can take on many, many different personalities, many different guises, and act many different ways, and they're very complex, so you really can't identify them as being such, because there's such a great diversity in the jinn culture.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Las Vegas, Nevada. Chris, on our wildcard line. Hey, Chris.
Hey, this is me.
Hi, me.
Your last caller, I was just wondering, if you had a question, why was he, like, you know, telling you guys what you already know? I had a question for your caller, or for your guest. Just wondering if fallen angels couldn't be the jinn that's going on, and how does that work with the prophecies of the Bible? Just kind of wondering.
Go ahead, Phil. I'll let you address
it. Well, if you look at Islam, well, like I said before, there are no fallen angels. There are jinn. And when you look at Christianity's version of the fall of the angels, they are angels that fell out of grace and were cast out of heaven. But in the Islamic version, they're jinn. They're not angels. So, you know, it depends upon, you know, what you really want to believe. I don't really like to look at this in the religious point of view. I think there are intelligent beings in the universe, and that we call them different things. Angels are higher evolved beings of light, made of photonic energy, perhaps. Jinn are made of plasma, and human beings are made out of molecules, and so on. So I think your question is that, you know, there, according to the Islamic belief, there are no fallen angels. There are just jinn.
Okay. Next up, Geneva. We go to Mosul, Mississippi, east of the Rockies. Hey, Geneva.
Hey, George Norris. Nice to get through to you, and good morning, Rosemary and Phil. I have had encounters with jinns all throughout my life. It all started back when I think I was about 16 years old. These things would, while I would be getting ready for bed and such, and settling in for the night, these things would dive on top of me, and they would literally hold my tongue so I could not yell. And they would terrify me. Well, one time I encountered him. I don't know if I was dreaming or if I was awake because it seemed so real to me. But I don't. He was about 5'2", and he was real skinny, so skinny that I could see his ribs. And he had huge, dark black eyes. You could not see through them. His skin was a light gray, and it looked to be like leather. And he had horns, gray horns, coming from the front of his forehead all the way into his, and they grouped together in the back, into his spinal cord. And this thing was so scary to me that I fell to my knees outside of my shop, and I was so scared of him. But for some reason, I wanted to reach out and touch his skin to see what he felt like, because his skin looked like it may be soft. Well, without him speaking, because I did not see his mouth, he spoke with his mind to me, telling me that if I would say his name, he had three names, and I couldn't read them, but I do know that all three of them started with the letter M, and he said if I would tell him his names, and he carved them out with his long fingernails onto a tree, and when I seen it, I was so, I couldn't read it, but anyway, he said that if I told him his names, he would tell me all the secrets that I would want to know about why we're here, all about life and God and everything. And then I looked down at the ground, and I seen thousands of snakes, all different kinds. You could barely walk because of the snakes. Well, I ran into the house to where my mother was by the sink, and I told her what I encountered. And she said, "You didn't say his names, did you?" And I said, "I don't know. I could have, you know, thought of them in my mind, but I didn't say them out loud." And she says, "Do you know what you have done?" And whenever I said this, we had together my babies and my husband, and we all got into the truck. And as we were leaving out of the drive, I saw this woman standing by some gas tanks that used to be a little store there. And she was standing there, and I could see her head just roll off of her shoulders. And another time that I experienced him, he was sitting, it was a different gin, same color tone, and he was sitting at the end of my bed, and his eyes were a putrid green, and he was eating flesh, and blood was draining from his mouth, and he said that he was going to be the one to possess me, and I wanted to get the thoughts of your guests on that.
Well, okay. Who want Phil? That sounds like you.
It does.
You're elected.
Well, you know, what you're talking about, you know, there, you know, we cover quite a bit. I've covered, too, in some of my research, these nighttime visitations where these entities have appeared before these people and pinned them down, paralysis and so on.
Sure, the old hag syndrome.
Yeah, and appeared in many different forms and tried to terrorize people. And more or less, it's more or less that to break down the resistance to them. They either do it by coming and visiting you and putting on I'm the good little fairy act and I'm your friend, or sometimes they'll just come in and just induce terror so that you're so frightened and that breaks you down so much so that they can get to you then. But, you know, her encounters do sound like jinn encounters. And for some reason or another, some people are more susceptible to these encounters than other people. And I think it has to do with a lot with the psychic makeup of the individual and also how fearful you are. if you've been brought up to be fearful of the dark or fearful of these strange creatures, they seem to approach you more because they like to generate the fear. Whether they're doing it because they're having fun with you, or they're using it to feed, or they're using it to do some type of connection, you know, is not clear. But I've heard many stories like what the caller just called in about, and I'm sure Rosemary has too.
I would like to add a couple of comments to what Phyllis said, too, that strengthen the Jin explanation for this. Her description of the creature, the dark eyes with a light gray, kind of leathery skin, and the way the horns went about the head, I have encountered that before in some of the cases that I feel are Jin rather than demonic. Speaking the name of this entity three times is a very genie-like way of releasing something from its boundaries. In other words, giving it more access to her and to the physical realm. And there is precedence in the jinn literature for the jinn offering to teach secret wisdom in exchange for something in a pact. And then also we have an association with the flesh-eating, because the ghoul, the flesh-eating ghoul, is a type of jinn. So these are all characteristics that we would associate with a jinn entity.
Okay, let's go to Michael in Sacramento, west of the Rockies. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going, George?
Good. Thanks.
Okay, the question that I had, it's a little intricate. I was wondering, you guys had mentioned the blue jinn and how they're the most powerful, they're the oldest, possibly the most sagacious, wise.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any possibility that maybe these entities, their purpose or design here on Earth is more so to kind of embody what we can become if we don't rise above our fears, rise above our, you know, tribal mentalities that we have with each other, and really seek, I guess, in essence, like the stars, you know, versus plundering the earth? Or because when you say that they were an ancient species and they had pillaged the earth, is it that their mission here is to teach us indirectly not to do that?
Lessons learned here, Rosemary or Phil?
Well, I think originally jinn were here to teach humans not to make the same mistakes. And we, as human beings, we're not supposed to make the same mistakes the jinn did, use them as a lesson what not to do. But unfortunately, we are polluting the planet. We are making war with each other. We are making terrible weapons to destroy each other. We're following the same pattern that, according to the ancient legends of the jinn, did, and why they were taken out of this world by a higher order of beings. Human beings are doing the same thing. So I think, you know, we can look at the jinn history and say, gee, you know, if this is true, we can learn from their mistakes and rise up to become a better society, but it doesn't seem like that's happening.
All right, stay with us. We're going to take this quick break. We'll come back with both of you on Coast to Coast AM. Well, have you heard of the work by Dr. Robert Becker called The Body Electric? Our next Coast to Coast show, Dr. Jerry Tennant and Dr. Mark Starr will join us as we will talk about using voltage. Now, don't put your finger in a socket, but using voltage to heal yourself. It's an amazing story. That'll be our next Coast to Coast show. And when we come back, we'll take final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, you know, Rosemary and Phil, this universe is so vast, and there's so many things going on, probably in the multiverse, that we just don't comprehend, we don't understand. And to me, I guess it's very possible, conceivable, that the jinn exists throughout this entire structure.
I think they do, and I think it's, as we get more educated about these entities in our culture, it's important to know that they're interested in manipulating us for their own ends. I think there are other entities that we have contact with that some of it's happenstance. You're in the right place at the right time. Some of them may have minimal interest in taking advantage of us, but the jinn seem to have a high interest in taking advantage of us, at least those who are deliberately interacting with us.
Have you found, Phil, in your research that the jinn overall, that they're just, you know, mischievous, or that they're evil or good?
I think they're all of the above, just like human beings. I mean, you have many different personalities. Some people like vanilla ice cream. Some people like strawberry ice cream. Some jinn like different things. They dislike different things. Some jinn are psychotic. Some jinn are neurotic. And unfortunately, it seems that from some of the cases we've investigated, that some people do link up with a psychotic jinn, and it could be very dangerous. Also, you know, one thing, whether the jinn exists or not, I mean, you know, these dimensional beings most likely do exist. It could account for a lot of the phenomena that we see. Obviously, their place of residence, this other dimension, has shown up in the equations in theoretical physics. So scientists, you know, up at MIT, down at Caltech and Princeton, they believe these other dimensions exist. And now they're saying, hey, you know, at first when we first theorized this stuff, these other dimensions were looped and tight around each other with very little space. Now the equations are showing that these dimensions are formidable spaces. And they're saying now, many of the younger theoretical physicists are saying, well, gee, you know, why can't there be other living beings or creatures in them?
Absolutely. This text message in from Daniel in San Antonio wants to know if angels and demons are in conflict with jinns. Who wants that?
We certainly have accounts of conflicts, at least between the angels and the jinn, and of course between angels and demons as well. More likely, the jinn would work in concert with demons rather than against them, because they both have some of the same angles and interests against human beings.
Kyle's in Victoria, Texas. Welcome to Coast, Kyle. Go ahead.
Hello, George. First time caller.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I just wanted a question for him, Mr. Philip Imbrogno.
Sure thing.
He mentioned in his book, I read Files from the Edge, that he said that sometimes the jinn, they'll either make a pact or forcibly take over a person's body to experience our emotional states. Is that, am I correct on that assumption?
Well, yeah, you know, jinn, they want to experience physical pleasure, so they will make a deal with a person. Let me inhabit your body so if I can experience this and that, and I will in turn give you whatever you want. But the problem is that in some of these cases that have been followed up throughout history, is that sometimes the jinn gets into the body and doesn't want to leave. And then they may leave, the person may commit a crime, and all of a sudden the jinn will leave, and the person finds himself back in the body, his own body, and consciousness in his own body. And all of a sudden, he's on trial, and he's saying, I didn't do anything. The devil made me do it.
Yeah, something whispered in my ear, something like that.
And you see cases like this throughout history where people are in court because they murdered somebody, or they sexually assaulted somebody, or they did something. And all of a sudden, they say, I don't remember doing these things. It was something that took me over, and they start accounting, the devil made me do it, and their lawyer starts to say, well, it was temporarily insanity, and these person, you know, if they're found insane, they're usually put in mental institutions for the criminally insane. And the jinn's laughing, you know, and the jinn's laughing, I got what I wanted, okay, goodbye, I don't care about...
Does the jinn need to be invited in?
Well, that's what I understand, that... I don't know if that's true or not, but the person has to accept the jinn. It seems that according to some of the very ancient beliefs and the stories I've heard about jinn behavior, some of them do have very religious beliefs, and they're afraid. They believe in angels, and they're afraid of angels. because they know angels are watching over them and what they do. But if a person willingly accepts the jinn to come in and say, yes, I want power, I want this jinn, you could come in and work through me and get physical pleasures, but in turn, you know, you grant me my three wishes or my wish to become power. I mean, there are like incredible paranoid stories about certain politicians, certain world leaders, certain people who are in entertainment who made deals with jinn. There are many people in the Islamic community who believe this.
Okay, let's go back for final calls now. We'll pick it up by going to West Palm Beach, Florida. Daryl, first-time caller. Hi, Daryl. Go ahead. Daryl, you with us? Nope, he's not. But west of the Rockies, Michael is in Sacramento. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey. Hey again. So one other question that I did have, kind of picking up off the subject that we last talked about, is it possible that we are seeing more and more jinn interactions because these entities are kind of like at this last-ditch effort to try to spark some consciousness into us for us to kind of wake up, so we follow a path of a future versus a path of destruction?
How about you on this, Rosemary?
I don't think the jinn are trying to help us that much. I think the blue jinn, who are probably the wisest of them, they seem to have retreated much the same way that fairies have retreated instead of, you know, trying to interact with us. The jinn seem to be more interested in upset and chaos, and that's what we see in a lot of these jinn cases, that there's just a constant interference and agitation going on to keep people upset and unbalanced mentally and physically. And there's not much indication that they're trying to, you know, come in as counselors.
I think it's just amazing at how many of these cultures have identified this entity in being, you know, in its life, in their lives. Strange. Let's go to Mohammed in San Diego. Go home, Mohammed. Hi.
Good morning, Mr. Nouri, and good morning to your guest. Mr. Nouri, your guests tonight is phenomenal. They are great. They have very highly educated themselves about the jinn. Whatever information they give you tonight, they're excellent on that. And 100%, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for that.
Mm-hmm.
I have some information about the jinn that actually, because I'm Muslim, that I've been told by my father and the scholars and everything, that jinn actually can be under your command. There's a book, I forgot the name of the book. They can be under your command. You can tell them whatever they can do. What you want to do and make them to do, they will do for you. And also, jinn actually been used by some of the scholars that are saying right now that it could be built up even the pyramid in Egypt. In the Middle East, not just the Muslims, but the Christians and the Jews also, they believe in jinn in the Middle East and Asia. But actually, they can use jinn and destroy their enemies or run away from the jail or escape some trouble things. Jinn could be their friend, and they can help them through troubled times, or they can beat up their enemies with it.
What does the jinn want in return, Mohammed, if they're going to do that?
I heard that if you make them under your command, and once they do your job done, and they will come back to you and say, okay, I've done whatever you want. Now I'm going to be, you know, free from you, so I can do whatever I can do. I think that's the deal with the jinn and the human between both of them. Your guys was, like I said, they're great on that. They give you all the information. It's perfect. I believe there's a lot about jinns. Jinns are like us. Human civilizations, I believe they have kids, they have a family just like us. If you bother them, they can destroy you really easy.
Yeah.
Since we cannot see them, and they can see us. And there's about seven dimensions in Islam. Believe Islam that they have seven dimensions. So jinn is one of the dimensions that we cannot see them, they can see us. God gives them some kind of a ability to see us, but we cannot see them. So it's kind of weird, but they are dangerous. So I believe back in Middle East and Asia, some of the young kids, they cannot even get out overnight because they are scared of the jinns. And multifamily. So I guess that's why there's not much of crime, because with people not going, especially at nighttime, and Jin would not show themselves to a bunch of people. They will, you know, show themselves like when you're alone. So I don't know what your guest take on that.
But okay. I'll let you take this, Phil. Thanks, Mohammed.
Well, you know, we're aware that, you know, there's belief that every person has a jinn counterpart, and it more or less takes the place of the guardian angel. And it seems that at one time, yes, Allah, God, said to the people, to the jinn, look over human beings, but in time they resented it and wanted to be free. As being able to control the jinn, I don't know if I really think that's true from what I've read and what I've understood. I think a lot of that comes in with people trying to subdue their fears about this race of beings that's invisible to them, that can really strike at them if they choose.
It's almost like the three wishes, you know, you give me the three wishes and I'll let you out of the bottle, basically.
Yeah, it's sort of like that. But it seems at one time, yes, you know, jinn were obligated to serve human beings. And, you know, there are stories about jinn also building the great pyramids of Egypt and actually teaching the sciences and teaching language and teaching the written language to human beings. In Christianity and Judaism, that job was left by angels to do. So in a lot of the Islamic beliefs, angels are replaced by jinn, and some of the things that jinn do were for the benefit of the human race, but they resented it after that.
Let's go to Patty now in San Francisco. Patty, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Oh, good. I just recently found out about your program, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, now you're a regular, Patty.
I'm a high school teacher. I don't talk to other people about these kind of things because they think I'm insane. So it's nice to hear, be able to speak on the program. But too bad my friend's sleeping, so she would love to hear me on this. So I've been trying and trying. I'm Chinese, so I like to put in to a little bit input of what Chinese do.
Sure.
So it was mind-blowing today because I did not know. I keep thinking, because my mom told me about things in Taiwan and in China, they are actually witch doctors. They actually capture them and then have them do things for people. So, but for a price. So this real old coin size, what Rosemary and Phil talk about, that they really want some kind of price. They don't just do things for free. So you have
Always a connection here for something, right?
Yes, and there's one very famous case, and what's on the news, if you Google it, you could even see it, and about this guy, and he went to this witch doctor, and he just, you know, he got him a gym, and then he wants to be a millionaire, so he plays lottery, so he bought this lottery ticket, and the gym actually told him what numbers to put on, so he got this number, and then he also promised the gym if he become a millionaire, he will give him anything he asked for. So what happened is on the news, he showed it's very tragic. On the video footage, he became a millionaire, and he won the lottery. And 2 days after, his son got killed because he bought his son a Porsche.
Oh.
So, and his son was trying to the Porsche stuck between the door and the garage door.
Yeah.
So he got off the car and trying to, he didn't put the Porsche
in park,
to do the brake.
Right.
Yeah. And then he got in front of the car trying to open up and the Porsche ran over him.
Crushed him.
And it was caught on tape. So it was shown on the news. And on the bottom of the time of he died is exactly the number of the lottery that his dad.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They do work in strange ways. Thanks, Patty, for the call. A couple minutes to go. Horrible. Horrible, Rosemary.
Well, there are many such cases like this. And I think sometimes people may unwittingly make pacts with these entities simply by sending out thoughts and intentions for selfish purposes or material gain or power or something like that. And demons answer that call and jinn answer that call.
Ezekiel in L.A. sends in a text, wants to know if the jinn, if they put curses on people. What do you think?
They can, most definitely. If the jinn are wronged in any way, and we can do this inadvertently, and there are many cases out of folklore of we can't see them, and so we have to be careful that we don't injure them or harm them in any way. The jinn are revenge oriented, and if one of their kind is harmed deliberately or unwittingly, they will come back with a campaign against that individual and their family members, and it can become like a curse that affects generations.
And they're relentless. They come after you.
You got to be careful. I wonder if we can cut a deal with them and send them down to cap the Gulf.
Oh, there would be a price on that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they're enjoying that because it's just proving that we can't take care of this world.
Do they like chaos?
They do, yes. They like to keep people off balance. And they find your most vulnerable point, your Achilles heel, for doing that.
All right, Rosemary, thank you so much. Phil, always a pleasure, my friend. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, that's Phil in Brogno and Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Their upcoming book, which is coming out in March of next year, which you'll get here soon enough, it's called The Vengeful Jinn, spelled with a D, D-J-I-N-N, The Vengeful Jinn, Unveiling the Hidden Agendas of Genies. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.